This is the seventh illusion. Condemnation exists. There had to be a consequence of judgment. If it was true that judgment exists, there had to be a why. Clearly, one was judged in order to determine whether one should receive the rewards of meeting the requirement. That's how humans constructed it. Seeking insight, trying to find answers, you went back to your original cultural stories and to the first illusions on which they were based. You told yourself that I separated you from myself when you failed to meet my requirement the first time. When you were perfect, you lived in a perfect world, paradise, and you enjoyed everlasting life. Yet when you committed the original sin and rendered yourself imperfect, your experience of perfection in every way ended. Now the most perfect thing about your perfect world was that you never died. Death did not exist. Yet with your experience of perfection ending, you accepted the fourth illusion as fact. Insufficiency exists. There was not enough. There was not even enough life. So death must have been the consequence. This was the punishment for not meeting the requirement. But how could that be so? The advanced thinkers among you asked. Now everybody dies. So how could death be the punishment for not meeting the requirement? Even those who did meet the requirement died. Perhaps the reason for the existence of death was that there simply was insufficiency in the universe. Insufficiency was the state of things. This you learned from the fourth illusion. Yet if death was the result of insufficiency, then what was the outcome of not meeting the requirement? There was something wrong here. Something did not add up. You went back to your original myth. God threw Adam and Eve out of the garden when they did not meet the requirement. This created disunity, which created insufficiency, which created the requirement. So, insufficiency was the result of God's punishment. The punishment was separation, and insufficiency was the result. Death is the insufficiency of life. So, by a stretch, death was the punishment. This is how you reasoned it out. The purpose of death must have been to punish you for not meeting the requirement. For without death, there was only what there always was, namely, life everlasting. And if you could live forever, what was the consequence of not having met God's requirement? So what always was had to be called the reward. That's it, you said to yourself. Everlasting life is the reward. But now you had another conundrum. If death existed, then everlasting life could not. There's a challenge here. How to create a way for both to exist, despite the fact that the two appear to be mutually exclusive. You decided that the death of the physical body did not mean the end of you. Since the existence of death precluded the possibility of a life that goes on forever, you decided that life must go on forever after physical death. But if life went on forever after physical death, then what was the point of death? It had no point. And so there had to be created in your after-death experience another outcome. This you called condemnation. It fit perfectly when you thought about it. It fell right into line with the second illusion. The outcome of life is in doubt. Failure exists. Now you could have your cake and eat it too. Now you could have death and everlasting life, punishment and reward. By placing both after death, you were able to make death itself, not the punishment, but simply the ultimate manifestation of insufficiency, the most impressive evidence of the fourth illusion. One illusion now really began to support the other. The interweaving was perfect. Your work was complete. And this was the reality produced by your cultural story and by your endless creation and passing on of myths that solidified it. Myths support the story, and the story supports the illusions. This is the superstructure of your entire cosmology. These are the underpinnings of all your understandings, and they are, all of them, false.
Death does not exist. To say that death exists would be to say that you do not exist, for you are life itself. To say that death exists would be to say that God does not exist, for if God is everything that is, which is exactly what God is, and if all things form a unified whole, which they do, then if one thing dies, all things die, which would mean that God dies. If one thing dies, God dies. This, of course, cannot be. Therefore, know this. Death and God are mutually exclusive. It is not possible for them to exist side by side. If death exists, then God does not. Or it must be concluded that God is not everything that is. This brings up an interesting question. Is there anything that God is not? If you believe that there is a God, but that there is something that God is not, then you can believe in a great many other things, not only death, but the devil and everything in between. If, on the other hand, you believe that God is the energy of life itself, and that this energy never dies, but merely changes form, and that this divine energy not only is in everything, but is everything, that it is the energy that forms that which has taken form, then it is a small step to understanding that death does not and cannot exist. This is what is so. I am the energy of life. I am that which forms that which has taken form. Everything you see is God in differing formation. You are all God in formation. Or put another way, you are God's information. This I've said to you before, yet now you may at last truly comprehend it. Much of what I've said to you in our conversations is reiterated a number of times, and this is, of course, by design. You must have a firm grasp of every concept you've been given before you can grasp new concepts you would seek to understand. Some of you will want to move faster. Some of you will say, okay, I've got it already. Yet do you really have it? Your life lived is a measure of what you have and what you do not have. It is a reflection of your deepest understandings. If your life is an experience of constant joy and total bliss, then you truly have it. This does not mean that your life is without the conditions that can cause pain, suffering, and disappointment. It does mean that you live in joy despite those conditions. Your experience has nothing to do with conditions. This is unconditional love, of which I have spoken many times. You may experience this with regard to another person, or with regard to life itself. When you have unconditional love of life, then you love life just the way it is showing up right here, right now. This is possible only when you are seeing the perfection. I tell you that everything and everyone is perfect. When you can see this, you have taken your first step toward mastery. Yet you cannot see this unless and until you understand exactly what everyone is trying to do, and the purpose for everything under heaven. For instance, when you understand that the purpose of this dialogue's returning to its main points repeatedly is to bring you deeper and deeper into your own understanding and closer to mastery, then you will love the repetition. You will love it because you understand the benefit. You embrace the gift. This will bring you equanimity in this moment and in all the moments of your life, no matter how unpleasant you might previously have judged them. You will even find equanimity in the moments before your death, for you will see your death too as perfect. You will find and create equanimity even more masterfully when you understand that every moment is a dying. Every moment is the end of your life as what you were, and the beginning of your new life as what you now choose to become. In each moment, you are recreating yourself anew. You are either doing this consciously or unconsciously, with awareness or completely unaware of what is going on. You do not have to be facing the moment of what you have previously called death in order to experience more life. You can experience more life whenever you wish, in 100 different ways, at 100 different times, at the moment of your birth, at the moment of your death, or at any moment in between. This much I promise you. You will experience more life at the moment of your physical death, and this will do more than anything else to convince you that there is more life, that life goes on and never, ever ends. In that instant will you realize that there was never not enough. There was never not enough life, and there was never not enough of the stuff of life. This will dissolve the fourth illusion forever. Yet that illusion can be dissolved before the moment of your death. And that is my message here. The way to produce more life is to experience more death. Don't let death be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Experience every moment of your life as a death. For that is, in truth, what it is when you redefine death as simply the end of one experience and the beginning of another. When you do this, you can have a little funeral every moment for what just passed, for what just died. And then you can turn around and create the future, realizing that there is a future, that there is more life. When you know this, the idea of not enough is shattered, and you can begin to use each golden moment of now in a new way, with new understanding and deeper appreciation, with larger awareness and greater consciousness. And your life will never be the same. Ever.